The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
And it's time, everybody, for the long-awaited every week moment that we have the Kiefer and Curry Show. Kip Kiefer with the one, the only Tony Curry.
Yes, sir.
We are going to have Tony. How are you this morning?
No,
are
fantastic. I just got to read what you proposed we talk about today. Can I read it?
Please.
Unmatched popularity, extreme loyal, fan bases, traditions, drama, incredible television, ratings, fantasy, betting, Taylor Swift, Toy Story, the NFL, and the greatest show on earth. That is what we're going to talk about on this show today, man. It is wide open, baby. I love it.
How about that? Well, let me start it this way, because we did a show right in the very beginnings of Kiefer and Curry. You had just gone to an NBA game and came back with a lot of impressions about who that was marketed toward. And our conclusion at the end of that show is this is really not being presented, trying to attract our attention or loyalty. They are not speaking to us really in the marketing and presentation of the NBA.
No, a pasty white 57-year-old was not welcome. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. No. We really just kind of like, well, if you want to give us your money, fine, but we really don't want you here.
Yeah.
I think that was our conclusion. You went this past weekend to Nashville. You went and saw your Cincinnati Bengals against the Tennessee Titans. And I know the outcome of the game was miserable for Cincinnati fans. Really a bad effort from the Bengals, which are inexplicably struggling right now. And also, I understand your son became a little bit ill at the game. So it was not a pleasurable.
There were a lot of Bengals fans that got very ill at that game.
I think he was amongst many.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is, I want to kind of correlate that experience of going to an NFL game with your experience earlier in the year with the NBA to kind of kick off the discussion.
No, absolutely. And listen, they do everything at those games, everything from the in-stadium experience, from the music they play. I recognized every song they played up at Nissan Stadium, to just the event itself. The National Football League has done a masterful job at mass marketing to the mass appeal to the masses, period. And I mean, and so much so, and I know we're going to talk about this because everyone is, the Taylor Swift effect that it's had on the National Football League. You want to talk about this past weekend, the fact that they're playing in Wembley. We've gotten so international now with the National Football League, and I know it's our sport. We don't want to share it with anything else. The Jacksonville Jaguars aren't coming home, folks. They're there again this weekend. That should tell you something about just the mass appeal, not only here in the United States of America, but we've got 12 to 17 year olds that are up over 63% the last 2 weeks just because this gal named Taylor Swift is bringing her Swifties into the match. The last time I saw a mashup of two brands as big as the National Football League, and I'm going to go and supplant Travis Kelce because, yes, he is the National Football League, but it is the NFL and Taylor Swift. The last time I saw a mashup this big, Michael Jackson was getting married to Lisa Marie Presley. It was Elvis, yes. It was Elvis Presley and Michael Jackson together again. And listen, we know how that ended, but I've never seen a mashup so big. So right now the NFL cannot go wrong.
You know, it's fascinating to watch this unfold because this brings a completely different dynamic into the league. And it's almost like, it reminds me, Tony, of like old time Hollywood, where the biggest starlet, the most box office, cash money actress, they would always try to match her up in these relationships. And again, this is just the cynic in me, not to suggest she's just not wild about Travis Kelce and vice versa. Maybe they're going to be this romantic dream couple. But it just seems awfully convenient that one of the top stars in the NFL and Taylor Swift have had this great union. It reminds me of how Hollywood used to kind of match people up to try and get and create this same gaga with fans of, oh my God, look who she's dating. And they want to know every detail of every minute. That's kind of what the Swifties' reaction has been. But just look from sheer numbers, Tony, last week alone, Travis Kelce jersey sales were up 400%. Mm-hmm. He went from like the number 15 jersey in the league to the top seller. It's incredible. The game on Sunday night in Meadowlands, Taylor Swift announced she was going to be attending the game. The secondary ticket market exploded, and tickets went up about 35% on cost. Now, what if you're just a regular schmuck looking to go to that game and you look on like Tuesday and it's, oh shit, it's going to be $175 for this game. Taylor Swift announced on Wednesday she's going to be at the game. It's $400 the next day. It's just unbelievable the effect this has had and what's going on. You've got 13-year-old girls hanging on to every second of watching an NFL game, hoping that Travis will score a touchdown, but more importantly, hoping for a 10-second shot at the skybox window to see their absolute idol, Taylor Swift, standing there looking over the action.
What's amazing to me is the fact that Taylor Swift or Swifties as a whole, I don't think you would say that a Swiftie is an NFL fan. I'm not saying there aren't Swifties and aren't NFL fans, but the fact that those numbers from 12 to 17 are up 83% should tell you that not only is her brand the biggest, but I've never seen, we talked about this on Fox 6 a couple weeks ago. I've never seen a brand as big as her brand. I can't think of anyone in my 57 years on this earth that can move a needle like Taylor Swift. And let's not forget, my friend, since the National Football League is a master, if this relationship somehow ends sometime in October, we're going to point our fingers at October 13th. That is, of course, when the Taylor Swift The Eras Tour movie hits every screen in the United States. Oh, coming up here on October 13th. So there is there's a conspiracy out there that, yeah, they're just playing this along. I can't imagine the fact that she'd be sitting in a suite with Hugh Jackman and, you know, Travis Kelce's mother, mm-hmm. and there's not something to it. He is a fun guy, and I do think that he's actually good for her brand, and I think she's great for his brand, but it is an amazing mashup. But what she's done for the National Football, listen, the National Football League doesn't need her, and she doesn't need him. It's like Alabama and Nick Saban. Nick Saban doesn't need Alabama to be the best coach of all time, and Alabama doesn't need Nick Saban to win another national championship, but together, it is the perfect storm. I've never seen a storm like it. It's amazing.
So it's not enough to have every 12 and 13-year-old girl on the planet now absolutely obsessed with watching the Kansas City Chiefs and Travis Kelce, who, by the way, I'm sure there were people shedding tears. Travis didn't have a single touchdown Sunday. He only had 5 catches for about 48 yards. He was no factor basically in the game. So I'm sure that everybody's just absolutely stunned that Travis didn't dominate the game. And I'm sure they were offended after the game when Michelle Tafoya gathered up Pat Mahomes and Isaiah Pacheco mm-hmm. as the two stars of the game. They didn't interview Travis.
No.
I'm sure there was outrage.
No.
But it's amazing. So that's not enough to have every 12 and 13-year-old girl completely paying attention. They also, for the Falcons-Jaguars game Sunday morning, contracted with Pixar, which is the leading animation company, which also was, by the way, after Apple laid off Steve Jobs from the company he created and basically fired him, the board of directors back in the day, Steve Jobs didn't just sit around idle. He invented the concept that became Pixar, which is the leading animation entity in the world. And Pixar, I can't comprehend it. I've even asked my technically versed son. He couldn't explain it to me, and I didn't actually see it. But the game on Sunday, they did an animated version with Woody and Buzz Lightyear and all of the fellas from Toy Story around the game. And I don't know if they had figures running up and down the field.
It was the worst thing I've ever seen on television. I kept hearing the promotion. I said, is there a Toy Story 5 coming out? Is there a new movie coming out? And I was talking to my son. He's like, no. And I said, why are they doing this? I get the Nickelodeon Super Bowl thing. I get all that. I understand that, but it wasn't. And it was in real time. By the way, Woody completed more passes in the second half than Joe Burrow did. I have never moved around better. It wasn't from a computer. He did from a computer animation standpoint. It was lousy. I was thinking to myself, I'll check this out because, I mean, it's computer animation. It's amazing. I mean, I believe dinosaurs exist just because of Jurassic Park, right? And I'm sitting there watching it. It was terrible. It was. I will go on a limb and say the Puppy Bowl 52 was better than this particular game. But I know why it brought, but you know what? There were tweets after tweets after tweets of 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, it ain't enough to get all these 12 to 17-year-olds. Now they have to go after 3-year-olds with their Woody dolls. Yeah. Sitting there in front of the TV, but evidently children just absolutely ate it up and they sat there and watched it. And listen, we've already got the Peyton and Eli thing. Now we got the Toy Story thing. Now we got the Taylor thing. I'm just wondering to myself just how big the National Football League can get, but you missed nothing, my friend. It was not good.
This is the incredible, I mean, the most incredible marketing entity right now that I've ever witnessed. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mentioned a couple of those other topics coming in. They already completely shored up after years and years, Tony. And this is one of our favorite subjects as we seem to kind of circle back around to it often. But the National Football League, just like baseball, after years and years of completely shunning and even acting like the existence of wagering on sports was not a real thing, you know, pretended like it didn't exist. It was the giant elephant in the room because arguably so much of the NFL's appeal is on the betting aspect of the hundreds of millions or maybe even billions of dollars that is ventured every single week. All of a sudden, a couple of years ago, the league had an epiphany and embraced the betting. And now it is intricately woven into every storyline. You see the betting information at the bottom of the screen. You hear announcers making reference to it. It has gone from a dirty little secret to a major marketing branch of the sport, along with the explosion. And I was on the absolute beginnings of this. Fantasy football in the NFL is absolutely gigantic. I know guys, Tony, that are in 7 or 8 different leagues. And I can tell you, just to manage one league, your player personnel, your transactions, all the different things you have to do, it's a full-time job.
No doubt.
If you actually want to be decent at it, it's just amazing the things that are now that are all contributing this perfect storm of making the NFL the most powerful entity on earth.
Do you remember, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago? It's probably maybe a little longer, when this guy named Colin Kaepernick took a knee and they said it was going to be the death of the National Football League.
Yes.
I was sitting there watching the national anthem, and I just, for some reason, I was looking on the sidelines just to see if anyone takes a knee. They don't do that anymore, by the way. No, it is as red hot as I've ever seen any brand, period. And this weekend certainly brought that to light. The amazing thing about it is we act like we're kind of surprised. What's the number one television show every year for the last 32 years?
The Super Bowl.
The Super Bowl. And it will be super again here for Super Bowl 58. And where is that game being played? Super Bowl 58?
In Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, just off the Las Vegas Strip near Mandalay Bay.
And do you know who's going to be playing the Super Bowl halftime by chance?
I did see it, but I forgot. Remind me.
That would be Usher. Usher is going to be doing, by the way, Taylor Swift did do the Super Bowl. I believe it was 2015.
2015,
yeah. And Usher is going to be the Super Bowl performer. And did you know what's going to happen the day after the Super Bowl? Usher's releasing his brand new album.
Well, how about that? So,
there's a reason why no one's ever been paid to play the Super Bowl. You realize that there's not one entertainer, Katy Perry, Paul McCartney, The Who, you name it, there has never been an entertainer that's ever been paid to play the Super Bowl, because it garners that much brand and you sell that many records because you just appeared on that. The Who had their big, The Who, which was, by the way, the worst halftime show I've ever seen on any Super Bowl, and I'm a big Who fan. It was lousy with Roger and just Pete. It was just more of a light show than anything else. They sounded horrible. It was one of the worst shows. They had their biggest record-selling day in their history the day after the Super Bowl, and they just played that thing, 10, 12 years ago. So that should just tell you what the brand of the National Football League is right now.
It's just amazing. Of course, the conspiracy theorists are saying that this is all just a mutual exclusive deal between Taylor Swift and the NFL. that basically she's a paid employee. They're paying her millions of dollars, which is kind of surprising because to me, that's like pocket change for her coming off a $1 billion net in her recent tour. But the conspiracy theories are that Taylor Swift is basically a hired gun for the NFL to just be present and extend their brand into this completely different market and develop a whole new variety of fans. And that there's going to be some like special appearance by her. Usher, as we've seen in recent years, there's like a surprise, somebody that pops up on the stage and they really don't do anything except for basically, you know, sing background or whatever. But that's the big hope that maybe Taylor is actually going to be part of the NFL halftime show this year.
I hope that's not the point. I hope they're the real deal because I do think they make a really cute couple, and I can't believe I'm saying that. They have not been seen kissing yet, but they have been seen hanging on each other, which I think is a good thing. And again, when you're hanging out with a dude's mama, that's the real deal. And she's done a masterful job at, now she will divulge and talk about her personal life and she does it through her music. And that's one of the reasons we talked about this on the show. I guess it was last week about people telling stories through their music. And we love that. We love to hear those intrepid, those strange spiteful words that perhaps, oh, she must be talking about him in this particular song. She's done it with so many different personalities and so many different people she's dated. Why wouldn't she do that? They're already writing a song about Travis Kelce, I can promise you. But yeah, I mean, if in fact that is the reason and it's conspiratorial, kudos to the National Football League for pulling. It's not like they needed Taylor Swift to help their brand, but kudos. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, if she's dating the offensive lineman, the left guard there for the Houston Texans, we're not even talking about that. She may be showing up at games, but no one cares. She's going to the defending Super Bowl champion, Kansas City. She knows there's going to be a lot of eyeballs. It's one of the most entertaining football teams to watch, despite the fact they look like hell in the second half this past week, but they still get the victory. But I mean, it is just a perfect storm. It is just a perfect storm.
I love the Tony Romo was talking about, he was doing a game on Sunday. They were at the Kansas City Chicago game last week in Kansas City when Taylor made her first appearance up in the skybox. Tony Romo was relating a story that I found fascinating that he said this Taylor Swift has, you know, is probably the most secured person, can't show her face anywhere. You know, it's Beatlemania times 100. She's that iconic and just, you know, has to have completely a shielded, sheltered, protected life. But he said, and he swears he witnessed this personally. He says Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift walked out of the bottom of the stadium at Arrowhead last Sunday evening after that game, got in his Mercedes convertible. He put the top down. It was a lovely evening, and they got in and drove off with the top down and the convertible. And Tony Romo, who is an interesting cat in his own right, said, you know, for somebody like Taylor Swift, that may have been the most freeing, absolute moment of regular experience of life that she's had probably in 20 years, which is really amazing to think about. That, you know, that kind of legitimizes the whole thing to me, that story that Tony Romo relates.
Well, if you want to feel like you're being protected, what do? You get around 50, 300-pound dudes with muscles up to their ears is what you do. You get around that. You know she's going to be protected around the Kansas City Chiefs, right? I mean, she's not going to have a problem with it. And good for her because, you know, we've seen all these documentaries about Michael Jackson. We've seen about the Beatles. And we saw the Michael Jordan where he had to hole up in a hotel for 7 days at a time because he couldn't walk out anywhere. Good for her if she gets an opportunity. But I also think because she's a female, because she is so well respected, because she's been screwed over by her record label already and she kind of gave them the screw back, I do think she's well respected enough. And look at her fan base. Look at her fan base. They're 12 to 17 year old girls. 12 to 17 year old girls, yeah, they're going to scream, but they are going to be respectful to their idol. They're probably going to stand at arm's length. And because of her, and I'm not saying that everyone is a 12 to say, hell, Dr. Josh Klapo, my radio partner, is in his 50s, and he's a huge Taylor Swift fan. But for the most part, her fan base is extremely respected, and they respect her, and maybe they give her an opportunity to go out there. And I'm not saying she's going to be shopping at Kroger on Saturday with Kelce. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm worth the kind of money she is. I'm probably taking a limo, everything for worth for the rest of my life. But yeah, I mean, she deserves that. And maybe she's finally, listen, just the people she's dated. I think sports figures, dating sports figures is so different than dating celebrities in Hollywood. While sports figures are as revered, if you will, they're also not as accessible. Well, I say they are more accessible, certainly after games, and certainly they don't mind going to bars and having good times in different cities. And I've seen that happen a million times. But maybe, maybe because of the accessibility, she feels more comfortable being around Travis Kelce as opposed to being around a Justin Timberlake or someone else.
Well, yeah, and you get a feel for Kelce. I love, I don't know if you've seen it yet, there's a commercial for, I don't know, one of the financial institutions or investment firms. Where I don't know if you saw over the weekend, but Kelce's walking in after a game and there's kind of a dweeby little guy standing there, goes, Travis Kelce, you're my favorite player. And he goes, wait, you're Marcus Schwartz or whatever. I love you, man. You're a guy with zero debt who has got perfect credit. He says, you're my idol. And they chest bump. And it's really, and his whole presentation, that commercial is just outstanding. I mean, and if you don't have some personality and imagination, I mean, anybody can read a script, but he really sells it. And it's really a really an amusing commercial. And that's just kind of the guy he is. If you've listened to his interviews in the past, he's not full of himself. He's a guy that is kind of a lunch pail sort, because he's not a glamorous prima donna. He does the dirty work in the trenches and lays the lumber to guys downfield. I mean, he's a prototypical tight end, and he's one of the best players in the NFL, and he has the best quarterback. What a tandem that is. I wonder what goes through Pat Mahomes' head while he watches all this unfold, because he is kind of at that level of diva superstar, most heralded player in the league. But yet it's his boy Travis who's in the headlines with the most famous woman in the world.
He is predicted to make more money from endorsement money this year than he is from his National Football League contract. Amazing. And you talk about, you know, yeah, why Mahomes is doing his Subway commercials, which are goofy in the right. You're talking about, have you noticed too, ever since the Taylor Swift situation a couple weeks ago, Travis Kelce is endorsing everything. He is doing T-Mobile. I saw him on a Cholula hot sauce commercial this morning. He's doing something for hydro rowing machines, which I'd seen. Indochino men's fashion. He's selling shoes. He's doing something for, I saw him doing a truck accessories commercial. I think it's called, what's it called? Real Truck, I think it's called. He's also doing the Players TV, the athlete-owned media network. He's doing commercials for that. And then just a couple of nights ago, I saw him doing a commercial for vaccinations. For Walgreens. Yeah, he's like going to Walgreens and do a it's a whole two-for-one situation where he's riding a lawnmower and it's got a grill on the hood of the lawnmower. He's like, I love two-for-ones. Go to Walgreens and get your flu shot and your vaccination for COVID. This guy, I mean... Hey, listen, I'm a sell. If you get an opportunity to sell out, baby, get it while you can. But it couldn't happen to a better guy. He's got two Super Bowls. He's an 8-time Pro Bowler. He is for sure a Hall of Famer down the road. And everyone loves the tight end. The tight end are the goofy, funny guys. They're not always looked upon as the smartest things on the football field, but they're the hardest working and they're the roughest on the football field. So good for him. And it's a great mashup. You know what? I think if, the media can keep their distance far enough away from those two and allow them to have some space to grow together. They may have a marriage in the future. I'm not trying to marry them off, but if it doesn't, they never said they were dating in the first place. So maybe this is a mashup made in heaven.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And the totality of everything we've talked about, the NFL brand is just blowing up. I'm going to be in Vegas this week, or actually next week. There's a Sunday night game it's a Monday night game against the Packers this coming Monday, supposed to be still out there, and looked at tickets last night. Taylor Swift is not going to be at the game. The Raiders are 1-3 and terrible. They're playing the Packers, who are 2-2 and not much better. The cheapest nosebleed ticket to the Raiders Packers game Monday night, Tony, $800.
Wow. Wow.
I mean, you talk about something that is blowing up. The NFL is on fire. Well,
what you need to do is start playing the tables and see if you can get some comps, brother. And by the way, since I do know you and I know you have a lot of connections in Las Vegas, I'm all about going to Super Bowl 58 if you want to go. I'm all on board. I've never been to a Super Bowl, and I would love to go to a Super Bowl, and I'd love to see it in Las Vegas. So while we're still doing this show, man, just keep the little people like your little friend Tony Curry in the mix. If you're out there seeing your sons and going out there and checking out the Super Bowl, it should be amazing. So let me ask you this, since we have a few more minutes left. We've already talked about, I don't know how many games the National Football League has played. It's hard to believe. I think they've already been playing in the London and the UK area for what, 12, 13 years. But and I know they're talking about playing in Germany. They're just from an international brand. And that makes me a little leery because it is an American sport. And I own that, and I want that. I don't mind them playing. There's nothing better. I was driving to Nashville. I turned the radio on at 8:30 in the morning, and I'm listening to the Jacksonville Jaguars game. I was like, this is awesome. If you can give me another 3-hour window of National Football League football, and that means they have to play international, so be it. So it's great. But what else can the National Football League do to grow? If you're a marketing director for the NFL, do you have anything else? Do you want to do like maybe a Halloween movie animation of the National Football League just in time for Halloween? What are you doing to grow its brand?
Well, I mean, you mentioned the international stage. They've had games in Mexico City, and that's soccer stadium that's like 120,000, and you can't get a ticket. In England, I've got a good friend over there who has a teenage son who is absolutely addicted to the NFL. Dermot, my friend, describes that mornings of games, he's up getting ready, and the early kickoffs in the NFL don't occur till late afternoon there, but it goes all through Sunday night, of course, because they're about 5 hours ahead. But he's got his whatever jersey on of what team he's pulling for. If you go to one of the games in London, the predominant amount of the audience is young male, mm-hmm. and every single one of them are wearing their favorite team jersey. So just think of the merchandise and the reach. The games are extending this year. Germany's another hotbed for American football. They're going to have a couple of games in Frankfurt this season, as well as the London games. As you mentioned, the Jacksonville Jaguars may wind up becoming the London Jaguars because they spent as much time over there as they do in North Florida, because the Jags don't even sell out all their games. So they're the perfect team to experiment with. And with Trevor Lawrence and some other big name guys, this is a 2-week stint over there.
Would you have a problem with the National Football League franchising international?
No, I don't think so. No. I think if you could create enough franchises where they played each other some, you know, so you didn't have teams traveling constantly back and forth, you know, maybe, and maybe it's going to take some reimagination, because if there's 3 or 4 teams over there, I mean, I know it's a lot to ask, but, you know, a road trip to Europe, you know, shouldn't probably just be for one game. You should play the British team and the German team or whatever. They played around with this with a secondary league years ago. And, you know, with international travel the way it is now, it's not that big a deal. You know, if you look at flying from New York to London or flying from New York to Seattle, you know, it's mm-hmm. it's really not that big a difference. So I don't know. I would be comfortable with it if it's set up right. I don't think that players can withstand the constant grind. You know, if you're playing in if you're on the Atlanta Falcons and you play the Phoenix Cardinals the Arizona Cardinals this week, and next week you got a game over in Frankfurt, I mean, that might get a little ridiculous. So I think a lot of imagination will have to go into scheduling, but I think it's feasible. And as far as a growth enterprise, I mean, they can take this thing global easily.
If you're talking about starting games at 8:30 in the morning, by the way, Scott Hansen on the NFL Red Zone, which is the greatest channel that's ever put on television. You know, he always says it's time to start 7 hours of commercial free coverage. Could you imagine? Yeah. It's time to start 23 hours of commercial free coverage. He would probably have to take a nap during the show. But could you imagine if they went international, the television revenue they could generate here in the United States? I mean, if you had NFL football on Sunday morning at 7 o'clock going till 10 or 11 o'clock every Sunday, then the Monday games and the Thursday games of the prime. I mean, it's silly. We know that television money makes the world go round. Think about the money that you could cause if you could get three or four franchises outside the United States for the National Football League. It'd be crazy.
It absolutely would be. And I'm anxious to hear a response we get from folks that listen to this show and their ideas and takes, because this is a fascinating subject and it's developed. I remember going to my first NFL game. My dad was a huge Washington Redskin fan, not Commanders. The Washington Redskins, his grandmother, who was a successful career woman working for the United States government and the Department of Commerce long before there was such a thing as professional women, always had the means to kind of spoil him as an only child. She started giving him season tickets right after he got out of high school, and he had them right up until the time that we left Washington for Atlanta. But my mother would always go to the first game and I would be stuck at home, but then she'd get bored with it. So for the rest of the year, I pretty much got to tag along at 4 and 5 years old and absolutely fell in love with the NFL. We also got to go over to Baltimore and see the Colts a lot living in Washington. And those teams with Johnny Unitas and Raymond Berry were some of the best in NFL history. So my indoctrination to the NFL was thorough, and I've been a lifelong fan. But I could never have conceived where we are now in terms of this league and it's skyrocketing. It is absolutely more popular than ever. And as you mentioned, there was a time just in recent years where it looked bad for the league, mm-hmm. with the players kind of revolting and the whole Kaepernick thing, which is a whole nother subject. What a reprehensible human being. Basically knew his career was winding down and his value was going out the window. So he became this activist to cash in that way. So good for him, but he didn't do any damage to this league because it is thriving like never before.
It's hard to believe that the Washington market, which should be the most politically correct market, both had the Bullets and the Redskins.
No kidding.
They both had to change. Speaking of TV coverage, check us out on Saturday morning, 10:30 to 11 o'clock on ABC 3340 Network Television. It's Kip Kiefer and Tony Curry for the starting lineup. We talk college football. Case Kiefer's on there with some plays. Did quite well. Thank you very much this past weekend. Terry Quillian's on there, of course, for the rant of the week. We also have the legend talking about his Tide forecast to get ready for another ball game every single Saturday throughout the entire college football season. We drop some NFL in there as well. Check us out, ABC 3340, for our shameless plug here on ABC 3340.
And you've got some cool guests coming on with us.
I do.
Week.
We have Sasquatch Toys and Comics coming in. Yes, Sasquatch Toys and their grand opening's going this weekend.
Our show tries to extend to a different market.
There you go. Seth Cosby, of course, the owner of Ed's Pet World. He'll join us for another week a little bit later on the season as he brings in maybe some crocodiles or something like that. So we'll be doing that on Saturday morning. So check it out. In the meantime, this is Kiefer and Curry.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.